unrehearsed, that's for sure, but I'd love to talk to you this morning about some of these bills.
Well, thank you very much, Julie. I know that you have one that we have publicized already that will give the governor more latitude in gubernatorial appointments to boards and commissions, but what else is on your drawing board?
Well, and in tandem with that, and this is the fun thing about this time of year, you're never quite sure what somebody else is going to come up with. The pro tem has filed, I believe, five bills that will give the governor the authority to appoint the agency heads of those same agencies that my bill talks about, the people who serve on their boards and commissions.
So, I noticed that on a release from the pro tem. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so that'll kind of go be in sync together. Well, let's see. I am filing a pro-life bill. There has been a breakthrough in medical science whereby a medical abortion, the abortion pill, the effect of it might be reversed before you take the second pill. And so I'm running a bill to add all the appropriate notifications so that if a woman has made a decision to abort a child using this method, they will be informed that should she have a change of heart or change of mind, that this process could be interrupted and undone. And so this is all about what the sign will say and how she's to be informed and what a medical emergency is. So it's another specific abortion pro-life statute for the state of Oklahoma, and I'm running that in conjunction with Oklahomans for Life.
So that would be an extension, if I understand it right, of informed consent. The more information that a patient, any patient for any pill, any procedure, any prescription drug, has the right to be informed on what side effects or what possibilities there are for any medical procedure, right?
Exactly, and this has to do with signage in a facility that performs abortions. It has to do with the State Department of Health website, having specific information and it being easily accessible. So to do as much as we can to help those women who change their mind and know that there might be a way to save their child. Then doing a little bit of judicial reform in Oklahoma. You know, we completely changed the way we did the selection of justices to the higher courts back in the 60s after a huge judicial scandal, a huge bribery scandal. But the districts we have for the courts, for the Supreme Court and the, I think, the Court of Criminal Appeals, I don't have all my papers in front of me, are based on when we had six congressional districts. Well, we haven't had six congressional districts for many moons now.
Right.
And all this would do is say, we're going to change the boundaries of the judicial districts to match our congressional districts, and because there are nine justices, this will mean one more will be at large. So we'll have five judicial districts and four at-large districts, meaning all those attorneys and district judges who are qualified and submit a request to be considered for an appointment to a higher court, that they will either do so as a resident of one of the five congressional districts or as an at-large candidate. So it just broadens the selection pool a little bit to have one more at-large being able to take from attorneys and district judges all over the state. So this was a bill, I believe, that we ran last year, and it passed the House, and it came to the Senate on the spur of the moment right at the end of session, and no one was really aware it was going to happen, and we did not have a chance to fully explain it. And I believe it was defeated because people were hit with something and it didn't make sense to them immediately. So we're going to do a much better job this time of getting out ahead of that and making sure everybody understands it. I can't go into too much detail because, again, I don't have it all in front of me. But I am filing a free speech bill that applies to university campuses in Oklahoma. It is a bill that ensures that when you are exercising your First Amendment freedom of expression, that you are not purposefully or inadvertently prevented from exercising your First Amendment rights on campus. And it asks for certain policies to be adopted about no free speech zones, making sure that if there's not any danger that students and their guests can gather and they can distribute literature. And in other words, no free speech zone where that's the only place you can hand out a constitution. Now, this has become an issue in the United States, sadly. I mean, it is sad that a state legislature should have to propose a law to protect people's First Amendment rights. And I am not pointing a finger at any institution in Oklahoma. I see this as a preventative measure and one in which if somebody challenged a university saying you should not have allowed that particular expression, they can say, we have in place policies required by the legislature for us to protect that expression. Now, the Constitution puts the governance of higher ed with the state regents. So I know there will be pushback as to whether or not the legislature has the authority to tell the regents how to manage this part of university life. And just beginning to think about those arguments, it's that the legislature takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And therefore, since we have the ultimate authority over, well, we have power of the purse for sure, but that our position as the elected officials of the people to protect First Amendment rights, I believe is superior to that responsibility for running the universities that's been given in the Constitution. Now, could there be a pushback? Could there be litigation challenging that? Absolutely. But I believe it's an important conversation to have, so I'm really glad to move forward with the bill.
Just in that respect, I mean, those of us of a certain age who maybe were around for the 60s, certainly the university campus was the place for the free exchange of ideas almost to a fault. Every idea, any idea, good, bad, was out there. And it was the place where, as part of the, I guess you could say, educational process, that we were allowed to speak our minds on anything.
Well, that's a very good point, Charlie. And again, I reiterate, I think it's sad that state legislatures think that they need to take action to protect what just a mere 40 years ago was second nature to everybody. We didn't question whether or not we had the right to express ourselves. And of course, you know, you don't have to be heard. Somebody doesn't have to listen to you if they disagree with you. But that there should be this trend in our country, I think in part because we misunderstand and we don't have a full knowledge of what our fundamental rights are and how hard fought it was to get them and what makes us so different from everybody else in the world, the idea of a republic based on individual liberty. It's sad that it's come to this, but I want to get out in front of it in Oklahoma. And so this will get a lot of discussion, I'm sure, and it's a pretty lengthy bill. So I look forward to talking to you about it in detail later. And then I have an election security bill. We've got an outstanding election voter registration system in Oklahoma. I'm so impressed when I compare it to other states. I've been to a conference that talked about cybersecurity and election security, and we are miles ahead of everybody. In fact, if you want to do a comparison between Oklahoma and Texas, I would prefer not to be a voter in Texas. What's unique about our system is that it is top-down, owned by the 77 counties and the state election board. It's all in silos. This is one place in government where you want silos, and they are all protected, and they're not tied in to any other servers or any place where the information could be compromised. I know we have in the headline today about a security breach, I think in the securities department. I'm just getting wind of this morning. And it all had to do with a breach of security and poor security and bad hardware or software, things that just shouldn't happen when you're talking about really sensitive information. So this bill will allow the Secretary of the Election Board to conduct random post-election audits before the vote is certified to go in and say, Washington County, we want you to take these precincts from this particular election this week, and we just want to run through and make sure that everything was calculated the way it was supposed to be, just as a backstop to make sure that our system is working well. And then it gives him or her the authority to work with the National Guard and the state security information people to talk about which records and things in our system should be confidential and not subject to a public record search. And how do we account for if there's an attack, if somebody attacks the hardware or the software, if we have a natural disaster, if we have a tornado, at what point could the election board secretary say, in this part of the state or statewide, I'm going to delay an election while we fix this? So that's in there. And then with the advance of social media, there's a lot of misbehavior out there, and there have been instances where people have put out misinformation. For instance, somebody posts on election day, everybody who lives in Ward 2 Precinct 2, your voting station has moved from Price Road over to someplace else. There are people who will see that and believe it's official, and of course they can make it look official, and they go and find out that that was wrong, and they don't get to vote. So we are increasing and specifying that that kind of activity is going to be a felony in Oklahoma. You mess with people's minds and prevent them or discourage them from voting, and you are contributing to the contributing to building or planting a seed of doubt in people about the entire election and voting system. So I've worked with the Secretary of the State Election Board on this for a few months, and I'm real excited to be able to carry it. And then I've got one more, Charlie. Do we have time for one more?
Tell you what, let's take a 60-second break, and then we'll have plenty of time to discuss your final proposal. We're talking with Julie Daniels this morning on a Community Connection brought to you by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state. And I should know, it's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Continuing our Community Connection on 1400 K1 with Senator Julie Daniels as we are going through her proposed bills, and we've got one more to talk about in about 5 minutes to get there, Julie.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. The legislature passed a tax increase last year, significant tax increase, and part of that was to raise the minimum salary schedule for teachers in Oklahoma. And we were asked yesterday by the Barnesville Education Association, the three of us, Representative Strom, Representative Fincher, and me, what would we do to continue to improve the situation of teachers and add more funding to education. Now, we know the governor, the pro tem, and the speaker have ideas, which I believe they are probably going to set out together, maybe in the governor's State of the State address. But in the meantime, I got to thinking, how can we continue to improve the financial situation of the people who work in public education without asking to increase taxes on their fellow Oklahomans yet again? Because I don't see a tax increase in the future in the legislature this year, although it could happen. I just, after last year, I don't see it. So I'm filing a bill that proposes to exempt full-time and part-time employees of public school districts, charter schools, and career tax, to exempt them from state income tax, to exempt their wages and salaries, both in the job they do for the public education system and in any other work they do, from state income tax. And my reasoning is, I've long believed that we shouldn't tax work. No, in Texas, Florida, they don't have income tax. We're a far cry from getting to be exactly like Texas. But since I don't believe in taxing work, what population of people could we benefit immediately and continue to improve their financial situation to retain them as teachers, to incentivize them to become teachers, and to improve their financial situation? And I believe generate more tax revenue by the fact that they will spend some of the money that they save. So it's kind of bold and it's kind of out there, but it's very straightforward. The only two positions that are not included in my exemption are superintendents and assistant superintendents. Rather than make a long list of people who are included and try to slice and dice all the people who work in administration, I just pulled out those two because in the minds of the taxpayers, they understand what those positions are. And since a lot of people leave the classroom and go into administration, not because they don't like teaching, because it's the only way they can advance themselves financially. Because in Oklahoma, we don't pay for performance. We pay you on the number of years you teach and your academic qualifications, I mean your academic advancement. And so I singled out superintendents and assistant superintendents because their compensation is so much higher than everybody else's. But that's what I want to try and do and have a discussion with my colleagues. Yes, the tax commission will say, well, this is estimated to be this much less tax revenue that will come to us. Well, yes, but if you're increasing taxes again to give teachers another pay raise, you're taking more money out of the economy. So I think it's an interesting way to look at how to move towards not penalizing people for work and helping those in education at the same time, everybody who works with our kiddos each day. So that's my idea. It does not have a bill number yet. I know the BEA asked me yesterday for a bill number, but I'm just now approving the final draft. So before 4 o'clock today, it will have a bill number, and I'll post that on my Senator Julie Daniels Facebook page. That's where I'm going to try this year to update people on what I'm doing. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I have some other things, Charlie, but those are the ones I thought might be most interesting to your listeners and maybe the most significant.
Well, thank you very much for the update. I think those are important measures that people will now have a little bit of time to consider and discuss. And when you meet them at the grocery store or in church in a week or so, why you'll probably have a few more informed questions than what you're doing in the legislature this year. So,
well, and just in closing, Charlie, people are already starting to call us saying, vote for this bill, don't vote for that bill. We're in the midst of filing our own bills. We haven't seen any of the other bills. So, you know, give us 2 or 3 weeks. I don't even know how much legislation has been filed, but to call and say, what do you think about this bill? I mean, I'm honestly telling you, I don't even know what you're talking about, and it's not that I don't care. It's a matter of time. I have to have time to catch up with people who have particular issues they're interested in, so they're following those things. So we'll get caught up with the people who are dogging these different bills just as soon as we possibly can.
Well, I think it's best at this point in time then to invoke a phrase from John Ford. If you think you really like a bill, don't get too upset. And if you think you really don't like a bill, don't get too upset. There's a lot of work yet to be done.
Well, that's right. And Charlie, thanks for letting me come on at the spur of the moment. You know, I love listening to local radio and especially getting my day started here. And it just helps. We have you on all over the house. I tell people I get all my best news from listening to KWN each morning.
Julie, you are a great friend of the radio station. Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking to you again on your regular Friday morning Capitol calls, along with your two new legislative friends that you'll be coming on with. Thank you very much.
Right. I think we start that the first Friday in February.
That sounds right to me. So,
all right, Charlie. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Daniels this morning on a Community Connection on 1400 K1. And we have more on the way. We'll check news coming up at the top of the hour on 1400 K1.
Davis Family Funeral Home, Dewey and Walker Brown.